Wall Street gets a blank check, but Main Street can't borrow a dime. Public employees get a free pass, while the private sector picks up their tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome back to the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on News Radio 101 FM KXL.
It's 7 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome back for the second hour of Business Briefing right here on News Radio 101 FM KXL. I'm Brian Bushlack. Want to thank our guests in our last hour for joining us, Joe Whitworth from the Freshwater Trust and Nick Shivers from Keller Williams West One Properties. Stick around, about 10 minutes away from an interview with Jeff Meyer from Meyer Group Architects. And a little bit later, Mike Goss joins us for his coaching segment. But without further ado, we welcome Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, our economic expert. Pat, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon. I know you have been very busy the last couple of weeks. Kind of bring us up to speed. What's going on in your world?
Well, there's a, you know, Brian, there is a lot of opportunity, and I think, you know, economic stress and then recovery creates opportunity. So we're out there signing independent agents around the country, negotiating service agreements with large sources of business, and actually fully engaged, so it's a good thing.
That's good to hear. Now, let's talk about the real estate market at the local level. Of course, all real estate is local. What's going on here in the Portland-Vancouver market?
Well, you know, the Portland-Vancouver market, like any market, is dependent on employment to a large degree, and our unemployment our unemployment here in Oregon is running just a hair over 10%. It really mirrors or parallels the unemployment nationally, but a little bit higher because we're more dependent on small business. Does that impact our real estate market? Yes, it does. There is not a direct correlation in terms of pricing, but there certainly is a correlation in the sense of households formed and employed people that are in a position to buy homes. So we are a little slower in some ways from a real estate point of view, and you see that historically because we tend to trail markets like California both up and down. So we're a little bit slower, but we are witnessing a good many buyers in the market looking at properties. We're also seeing an inordinate high amount of cash purchases. That reflects a tight credit, and that also reflects a sense of value among investors who are willing to step up and pick up properties. We are seeing some slight trend down in pricing, but I really would like to point out to your listeners that there is a lack of clear information on what causes that. So we have a deflationary expectation among buyers, but it is somewhat ill-founded. And by that I mean the differential between resale homes and REO property sales. Historically, REO property sales have run about 15 to 25% below resales in any given market. Because REO properties, there's an increase in the amount of REO properties, the average sales price has actually gone down, and the differential between REO properties and resale properties is about 35 to 40% right now. So we hear the headlines, or we see the headlines about property prices dropping and a double dip in property prices. That's really a function of the volume of REO properties being offered on the market by lenders who, of course, provide incentives to sell them quickly.
And those REO homes you refer to, of course, are bank-owned homes. Interesting, the gap between those and traditional resale. If you're just tuning in, just past the top of the hour here on Business Briefing, joined by Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. He is our economic expert, joins us every couple of weeks. And, Pat, talk about mortgages. I had Patrick Palmer from Alpine on a week or so ago talking about what's going on in their business. We didn't delve too much into the actual mortgage reform mess at this point, but how is that impacting the overall market?
Well, I think it is having some impact on the market. It certainly is disconcerting for real estate professionals, and there's a couple things happening. As a result of the Dodd-Frank Act, rules are being promulgated to govern all aspects of mortgage origination, mortgage servicing, and mortgage securitization. And candidly, the mortgage market basically, you've heard me say this before, it basically got stress tested and it broke. So some of the rules being proposed on April 1st, loan originator compensation rules were supposed to be impacted, but there was a last-minute stay by a federal judge that said he wasn't quite sure that the rules were necessarily constitutional or legally binding, and that the intent of the rule on loan officer compensation was to make sure that loan officers weren't incented for making bad loans. And I think everybody would agree that's a good idea. How you do it is a little bit more complex than perhaps was initially imagined. On April 17th, we're supposed to get a very clear definition of what will be a qualified residential mortgage. And the idea here being that originators need to keep some skin in the game when they originate a loan. And by doing so, then they will be more careful about the quality of a loan they originate. So, again, a very good idea on the surface, but how do you actually get an originator to keep skin in the game? The concept right now is that unless it is a qualified residential mortgage, they have to retain 5% responsibility or ownership in the loan. And some of the criteria that they're talking about is in order to be a qualified residential mortgage, there'll be a need to be a 20% down payment. Debt to income of the borrower can't exceed, I think, 23%.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's some restrictions there, and that's sort of disconcerting because obviously, in a depressed economy, a lot of people will not qualify. And it also takes a great many of the beginning homebuyers out of the market. So there's discussions about exceptions, continue to have FHA loans, continue to do different things. There's even some discussions whether or not it will apply to loans sold to GSEs. Until we see the ruling and until the ruling is kicked around sufficiently to see if it will be stress tested, we really don't know how that's going to play out. But it is hanging over the market in terms of business people in the business being willing to commit capital to grow their business. The lenders out there are having to be careful. They're trying to rethink their model. It's just a little bit of a stressful time right now. Now, having said all that, Brian, I will tell you that it is also an exciting time because you can see, and don't shoot me for using the phrase, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. That's an old William Westmoreland phrase from the Vietnam War that didn't work so well, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel here because what has happened, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but the decline in home building is causing the oversupply of homes to be used up at a fairly rapid rate now. And I know you and I were talking about the Metro. Was it the Metro study we were talking
about?
Yeah,
there was an interesting story there in Fortune magazine this past week on the lack of new homes being built.
Let me throw some numbers out at you. And we may have talked about this in the past, but I think it's well worth repeating. Historically, we've had about 1.5% vacant homes in the country. The total housing stock, available homes that could be sold, about 1.5% of them are vacant. And that percentage held true for almost 50 years. In 2005, that percentage went up to almost 3%. That happened because we grossly overbuilt for about 8 years. We built about 1.75 million dwelling units from 98 through 2000, beginning of 2007, and we just didn't need that many units. Our average demand, predicated upon household formation and obsolescence, was roughly 300,000 to 500,000 units less than that annually. So easy credit created an environment in which we grossly overbuilt. And we ended up with a tremendous oversupply. Now, we're working it off, and the numbers are released quarterly. So the last hard number I have is about 2.7%. It's come down. My gut is when we see the first quarter number, it's going to be down under 2.6%. And I say that because household formations at the end of last year, the last quarter of 2010, household formations were running at a 1 million annual rate. So the math here, if you're forming 1 million homes a year and you have 200,000 obsolescence, that's 1.2 million homes. And we were building 550,000 all in. So you can see we used up over 600,000 units in the last quarter of last year.
Well, that's good news for the market. And we didn't even touch on the macro economy. Pat, we'll have to have you back next week, okay?
That sounds great. And hopefully that gives you a little insight. So if we keep using them up, Brian, things will get better.
I think we're on the road to recovery. Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. When we come back, we'll shift gears. We'll talk about multifamily with Jeff Meyer from Meyer Group Architects. Stay with us.